want it all to stop.
Sorry for Jennifer Aniston. Come on, that's tragic. You know, and I don't care how many foreigners she adopts. I do not like Angelina Jolie either.
I mean, nobody talks about anything anymore. They just regurgitate everything they see on TV or hear on the radio or watch on the web. When was the last time you had a real conversation with someone without somebody texting or looking at a screen or a monitor over your head? You know, a conversation about something that wasn't celebrities, gossip, sports, or pop politics. You know, there's something important or something personal. You don't get it. If you got it, you wouldn't be so offended. Oh, I get it, and I am offended. Not because I got a problem with bitter, predictable, whiny millionaire disc jockeys complaining about celebrities or how tough their life is, while I live in an apartment with paper-thin walls next to a couple of Neanderthals who, instead of a baby, decided to give birth to some kind of nocturnal civil defense air raid siren that goes off every fucking night like it's Pearl Harbor. I'm not offended that they act like it's my responsibility to protect their rights to pick on the weak like pack animals, or that we're supposed to support their freedom of speech when they don't give a fuck about yours or mine. So you're against freedom of speech now? That's in the Bill of Rights, man. I would defend their freedom of speech if I thought it was in jeopardy. I would defend their freedom of speech to tell uninspired, bigoted, blowjob, gay-bashing, racist, and rape jokes, all under the guise of being edgy. But that's not the edge. That's what sells. They couldn't possibly pander any harder or be more commercially mainstream, because this is the "oh no, you didn't say that" generation, where a shocking comment has more weight than the truth. No one has any shame anymore, and we're supposed to celebrate it. I mean, why have a civilization anymore if we no longer are interested in being civilized?
And that monologue that you just heard comes from a film called God Bless America, which starred Joel Murray and was written and directed by comedian Bobcat Goldthwait. God Bless America was made in 2011, and one of those films that was very dark comedy that reflected already the kind of free-floating anxiety and hostility and potential aggression that psychologist Matthias Desmet talked about. If you ever listened to any interviews with him when he talked about the psychology of what he thinks led us towards this totalitarian system. It's reflected it's expressed in that film, which was made as a commentary on how American culture has declined, has become very dumbed down, very superficial, trivial, and also very violent. And now it's time for a very important public service message from the Center for Human Control. I'm sorry. Error there. Center for Disease Control. The CDC. Very important. Please listen.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hello, I'm calling on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We are conducting the National Immunization Survey, a nationwide survey about vaccinations.
We are conducting the National Immunization Survey, a nationwide survey about vaccinations.
We are conducting the National Immunization Survey, a nationwide survey about vaccinations.
Would you please call us at 1-877-220-4805? The number again is 1-877-220-4805.
Would you please call us? 877-220-4805. The number again is 1-877-220-4805.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you please call us?
Friends, the CDC is lonely. They're lonely. Please call them. They want you to call them. They want to know what you think about vaccines. You haven't given up on vaccines, have you? You haven't decided you don't have faith in the CDC or the pharmaceutical companies or the vaccines, have you? Oh, please don't say it so. The CDC needs you. They need your love and your support. So call the CDC and tell them how much you love them and you appreciate them and you'll let them inject you with whatever they want whenever they want, because it's just so much fun to have needles in your arm, right? And you know that will solve the world's problems if everyone's injected with something, because everyone needs an injection, right? And let's not let the CDC be lonely. Let's not let the people who work for the CDC be lonely. It makes me so sad to think that there's some people at the CDC who are feeling lonely and frightened, and they just need someone to call them and give them some reassurance. Don't worry. We'll still give money to Big Pharma. We want to help the pharmaceutical industry. We don't want them to die. In fact, we will die. Yes, that's it. Sacrifice your life to the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, all throughout history, human beings have sacrificed themselves or others for the gods they worship. And since now we worship Big Pharma and the CDC and Tony Fauci and all those wonderful people in our government and running these big businesses, well, why not do it? Why not sacrifice your body? Give your body to the CDC. Yes, and then they won't be lonely anymore and they won't be sad anymore. So just do it. Call, give them a call and tell them, hey, I'm ready to give you my body. I'm ready to sacrifice my life so that you will not lose money. And I know how important money is to you, and I want you to be happy. You want me to be happy, right? I mean, we've heard from Klaus Schwab and friends that we will all owe nothing, but we will be happy, right? So they want us to be happy, so let's help them to be happy too, friends. And let's not let the CDC feel lonely. They really want you to call them. Oh, it makes me sad. It's just heartbreaking. It really is. I'm not laughing while I say this. I'm crying. Really, my heart is breaking. I'm just so sad that the CDC is worried that people don't like them anymore and don't like their vaccines anymore. But, you know, that's not true of the COVID vaccine, because we know that the COVID vaccine is not really a vaccine. It was never safety tested, and it did not fit the legal definition of what a vaccine is. So they had to basically change the definition of what a vaccine is in order to make it work. So don't worry, CDC. There are people who still do value vaccines, but they don't value the COVID injections. That's all. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those people, because now, since all this has happened, I, like many people, have become informed and educated about the harmful effects of vaccines. And so now many of us who used to not be anti-vaccine have become anti-vaccine. Isn't that fascinating how this works? So I won't be calling the CDC, but I know some people will be calling them and letting them know how much they love the CDC and love injections, you know, and are ready to just lay down on the ground, stark naked, and offer their entire bodies up to the pharmaceutical industry. Go ahead, inject whatever you want into my body. I love it. Turns me on, baby. Yeah, really does. Okay, before I get started with the podcast, I just want to give a shout out to Julian Assange. If you don't know who Julian Assange is, you need to look him up. He is a journalist who runs WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks revealed tremendous corruption in the U.S. government, lots of wrongdoing in our government. And so our government has been retaliating against Julian Assange. And the funny thing is that Julian Assange is not an American. He's not a U.S. citizen. And yet the United States wants to bring him here to the United States and have him tried for crimes that the crime of being a journalist, basically, and telling the truth. Now, never mind the fact that we are supposed to believe in freedom of speech and freedom of the press in this country. So even if he were an American, he should not be tried or accused of any crime. But then there's also the question of why would somebody who is not even an American citizen be arrested and taken to the United States and tried for something, you know, when, you know, he's not an American. So I don't understand. Is the United States trying to take over the world? You know, there's a lot of conspiracies that say that the United Nations is trying to take over, the World Health Organization is trying to take over. I would say I think the United States is trying to take over the world. I really do. And all these other entities are being bought out by American big businesses, big corporations, and big money people. But who am I, right? But that's just what I think. Now let's get on with our podcast. Well, let's start out with talking about strange things happening here in New York State. I like to ask questions because I look for answers and I seek the truth. The truth is not partisan. It's not liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican. It's not communist or socialist or capitalist. It's just the truth. And that's why I have chosen to be nonpartisan, because I am seeking the truth. And I know that no politician is going to tell me the truth, and no big money bureaucrat is going to tell me the truth. No multimillionaire or billionaire is going to tell me the truth. CEOs of big pharmaceutical and tech companies and big companies in general are not going to tell me the truth. I just seek the truth. The truth might come from the mouth of a homeless person who has no reason to lie. It might come from the mouth of a child who has no reason to lie, or a disabled person, or an elderly person. It might come from anybody, my next door neighbor, person down the street, but it's not likely to come from some celebrity or some wealthy, privileged person who has lots of reasons to lie, to protect their reputation, to protect their bank accounts, and so on. In any case, I have some questions. For example, why did a teenage boy drive 3 hours north to Buffalo, New York, to kill people? Why didn't he go to a city closer to where he lived? Why didn't he do this in his own town? Why Buffalo? Why choose Buffalo? Why didn't he go to New York City, where there's lots more people? It just doesn't make sense. And then there are some people who point out that there's a large Ukrainian population in Buffalo. And Ukrainian people there are some very wonderful people who are Ukrainians. I'm not attacking Ukrainians at all. So don't misconstrue me. In fact, I often shop at Ukrainian-owned stores in my community because they sell all kinds of cool things that I like. But there is a small minority of Ukrainians who are Nazis, actually, and Nazi sympathizers. And apparently there's some speculation that some of those Ukrainian Nazi sympathizers are located in Buffalo, New York. There's a big community center. So some people are wondering, is that what drew this kid to Buffalo? Because he was apparently a supporter of Ukrainian Nazis. They found a Ukrainian Nazi symbol on him, okay? Now there's other people who point to a security guard who was shot and killed who had invented an automobile engine, I think, that runs on water, some sort of alternative water-fueled engine. And there's some speculation that that could have been why, you know, that maybe that was part of his mission to make sure to kill that guy. Who knows? What I think is very interesting that I don't hear people talking about is that he shot up a grocery store. People in a grocery store. And we know that there have been a lot of attacks on our food sources lately. So I wonder whether that was also part of his mission, was to shut down a food supply to people. Because people who live in that neighborhood where he killed people on the east side of Buffalo, New York, that is a predominantly African-American neighborhood, and it's also a poor neighborhood, and a lot of people there don't have cars, can't easily get around, and they are stuck with shopping at the same supermarket all the time. And so with this supermarket shooting and the supermarket being closed, being shut down for a little while afterwards, that made it hard for a lot of people in this area to get access to groceries. So again, I'm not saying I know the answers to these questions. I'm just asking the question, why? What an odd coincidence. Like, why would he drive 3 hours from his house? Why would he choose Buffalo? And why a supermarket?
It was a racial shooting.
Okay. It was a racially motivated shooting. But not from somebody in Buffalo. This was somebody who came from outside the area and traveled in to the area to do this. And I got to tell you, I find it awfully strange that a teenage boy would drive that long of a distance on his own to kill some people. You know, someone put him up to it. I cannot help but think that somebody put him up to it. Somebody sent him there. So that's one question I have that I'm wondering about. Another question I have is, why are the skies turning pink? Here in Western New York, we're seeing pink skies. And why are people not asking questions? It's another thing. Why am I the only one who seems to be asking these questions? Am I the only one who notices things? Are people so distracted by their devices, their screens, that they're not looking around them anymore, not paying attention to what's happening around them, not stopping to relax, take some deep breaths, and just take a look around? Because I never used to see these pink skies before. And they're very pretty. Yes, it's beautiful, beautiful skies. I've taken lots of pictures. But, and I might publish some in my new book that's coming out. So you want to look for that. My old book, Diary of a Mad Bag Lady, is for sale. And you, if you want to support this show, please buy a copy. Because it's a great, great book. It'll provoke you to think, at least, if nothing else. But anyhow, so, why are people not asking questions? I mean, really, it should be natural for people to just, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist, although conspiracies are a part of life, and they're certainly a very big part of politics. So if you don't believe in conspiracies, then you know nothing about politics. You know nothing about politics. But anyhow, without any conspiracy theories, without any political partisanship, Democrat, Republican, left, right, left, Biden, Trump, whatever, whoever, just human nature should have us asking questions. I mean, we should be smart enough to look up at the sky and notice there's pink skies. There's lots of pink in the sky that wasn't there before. And now suddenly, since the 5G rollout, but there's no connection there. Anyway, suddenly there are these pink skies. And I don't know what's causing it, but I know that it's not normal. This is the quote unquote new normal, right? So yeah, it's very pretty, but you know, I'm a little concerned that the sky's changing color. Something's up with that. One friend of mine thinks it's the chemtrails, which we've been seeing a lot of here in New York State. Another friend thinks it's the 5G radiation, just the radiation coming from the 5G. Again, I don't know, but I think we should ask questions. And another question I have is, why are the authorities here in Western New York planning on shooting and killing, murdering some deer? Yeah, it was announced on the news that they're going to slaughter deer in the area. And someone actually did ask the question, why are you doing this? And their response was, Well, some, you know, affluent people who live in the affluent suburbs are complaining that their pretty gardens are being disturbed by the deer, and they're getting too many complaints about that, so they're going to kill the deer. I just saw somebody the other day who had deer in his backyard, and he was feeding the deer. He was feeding him. He was encouraging the deer to come to his house. And then I saw some other folks stop and take pictures, and people were so excited to see these beautiful animals. I think a lot of people really like animals. And I think a lot of people move to rural areas because they want to be closer to animals and closer to nature. So what's the real reason why they're going to shoot and kill these deer? Is it because we have a lot of psychopaths in positions of power who get a thrill out of killing animals? We do know from psychology, and you can look this up if you don't believe me, to verify this, we do know that psychopaths do not like animals. That's one of the signs of a psychopath, is they tend to be cruel to animals. And it does appear that we have some psychopaths in our government right now. I am not gonna lie, that's what it looks like to me. But then there's another possibility too. Is this another attack on our food source? That's another question I have as well. Even though I don't eat deer, but you know, a lot of people do hunt deer. I just think they're beautiful animals, and I don't want them to be shot and killed. That's my viewpoint. But anyway, just wanted to throw that tidbit of information out there as well. Another question I have is why we can't get free grocery bags anymore when we go to the grocery store, or when we go to any store, you buy something. And, you know, in the past, when we as customers purchased something from a store, the store clerk would show their gratitude. Thank you very much for being a customer. Thank you for buying from me. Thank you for choosing to come to my store and not another store. They show their gratitude by putting your purchase in a bag. That's just, it's basic customer service. And not only does it show gratitude, but it also helps the customer to remove the items. If you don't give them a bag, you know, then stuff can get messy and disorganized, and it just makes sense to put everything in a bag, hand the bag to the customer, and say, thank you very much. If you can't do that basic thing, then obviously, from my point of view, you don't value your customers at all, at all. And this is what's happening in New York State. We don't automatically get our stuff bagged, and we're expected to pay for a grocery bag. And we're told that this is to protect the environment, right? But if, you know, I don't know how having to pay for a grocery bag helps the environment, really. I don't understand that logic. But I will say, I think it's interesting that we can buy plastic bags. In fact, there are all kinds of things made out of plastic that we can buy at the store. So again, my question is, well, why are plastic products still being sold in stores? And why are plastic bags still being sold in stores? And you can buy plastic trash bags and other kinds of plastic bags. So they're selling this plastic, and apparently they're pretty much okay with offering us this plastic, but when it comes to getting a grocery bag, when we buy something, we can't get even a paper bag for free. We have to pay for that paper bag. And if paper bags are better for the environment, why are we paying for them? I don't understand. You want to discourage us from using up bags? Honestly, I this is a money grab. 5 cents a bag, 10 cents a bag. It may not seem like much, but when you have thousands of customers coming into these big box stores, you know, this amounts to a lot of money these stores are taking in from these grocery bags that they're charging us for, a little fee for. But, you know, that brings me to another issue, which is we're not considered to be customers anymore. We're considered to be guests in a lot of these stores. You are a guest in my store, not a customer. And that disempowers us as shoppers, right? We are guests. It suggests that we're being granted the privilege to shop in this store, that we don't have an automatic right to shop there. They're just giving us this privilege and saying, yeah, we'll let you shop here. You're a guest, though. We can kick you out anytime we want. So I think that language does matter, that change in terminology, that they've decided to not call us customers but guests in many of these big box stores. And it makes sense that they won't even give us the courtesy of bagging our groceries. I find it to be very insulting and offensive and very poor customer service. But again, I seem to be the only one. Really, I seem to be the only one. And even people I meet who are in this so-called medical freedom movement, which, by the way, is a very disappointing movement to me at this point. But, you know, people I meet in this so-called health freedom movement, you know, don't seem to care about this stuff. And they're happy to go to the automatic checkout. I don't use automatic checkouts. Okay, I don't do that. I prefer to interact with a human being and not with a machine, first of all. And second of all, I don't want to put an employee out of work, which is what those automatic checkouts, supermarket checkouts do. Every one of those automatic checkouts they put in, that's one less employee they need to hire as a cashier. And I don't want that. I want people to have access to work, to be able to go to work and earn a living. And I don't want to interact with a machine. I like people. But again, I seem to be one of the few. Because I see a lot of people, and it's mostly younger people, are using those automatic self-checkouts at the supermarket, which really concerns me and disturbs me. And I've tried talking with people about this issue, you know, and just informing them, you know, hey, do you realize you're putting somebody out of work when you do this? You're supporting artificial intelligence and replacing people with machines. Do you realize that? And also, you're doing the work of the cashier. And you're not getting paid. Are you getting a discount on your groceries because you use the self-checkout? And I don't think so. So it's giving more money to these big box supermarkets are making so much money because they're charging us for the grocery bag and they're getting rid of their employees and replacing them with machines. I mean, they are cleaning up. And every time you use that self-checkout and every time you pay them for a bag, you know, and give them your money, you are supporting these big box stores and allowing them to get away with what they're getting away with, which is essentially taking over, putting out the small businesses. That's what they've always wanted to do. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just the way business operates, people. You know, this is the way the world works. Businesses are, you know, they just try to get to be as big and successful as they can. And they do try to crush the competition. So, you know, it's again, I just wish more people would ask questions, but everyone just seems to be so passive right now. People are very, very passive right now. And I believe that this is a result of years of sitting in front of a screen. It was the TV screen, the television screen, mesmerizing and hypnotizing people. If you observe somebody watching a TV, you'll see they're under a hypnotic trance. I really think that TV set, even though everyone's on their computer and on their phone nowadays, I still think that TV set is the primary culprit behind the brainwashing that we're seeing in people today. I really, really do. People leave their TV sets on all day long. At least a lot of people I know and I meet have their TV set on all day long. And it's just in the background. The messages are in the background of everything. But even without the TV set, you've got your smartphone, you've got your computer, you know, you've got your video games, you know, all these screens. And people are just sitting in front of these screens. And it makes people, it's indoctrinating people into this mindset of being passive, sitting and staring at something and watching other people, other robots, other cartoons, other, you know, other actors acting, you know, watching the action happen, passively watching it and being told what to do and what to think. And these programs on TV always have some sort of beginning, middle, and end. And often there's a message to them that this is the way to dress and this is the way to act. This is the way to behave in these situations. And this is the way things should be. And this is the way the story ends. But you know what? In real life, there's no ending until the end, the very end of your life. Everything else is ongoing. Ongoing. We're all works in progress, and life is just, it's just, it just, when it finally ends, it ends. But until that final end, your life is just constantly moving and progressing. But when you watch television, you get trained to believe that there's a beginning, middle, and end. There are scenes that end. But that's just not how life works. And a lot of people don't stop to think about how years of watching television and just years of sitting in front of a screen affect our minds and affect our thinking. But they do. And it's amazing. And, you know, I don't watch TV. I don't even have a working TV at home that I can watch. So I just don't like it. I just gave up on television a long time ago. I used to watch it when I was a kid growing up, but I just don't like it, basically. And I noticed a long time ago the propaganda, the brainwashing, and just really, in particular with men and women, women being stereotyped as victims and sex objects, victims and sex objects, victims and sex objects, and mothers, you know, and there's just all, you know, women are just supposed to be this certain way, and men are stereotyped as extraordinarily violent. You know, the male characters in movies, they grab women, they shake women around, they bang their fists on walls, they break furniture, they yell and scream, and that's portrayed as normal behavior. You know, I got to tell you, men in my life don't behave that way, thank God. You know, I really just don't see men behaving that way. But on television, they do. In fact, recently, I was out and about and I looked out and I saw through somebody's window in the evening, a TV show that they were watching. And it caught my eye because it was so violent, incredibly violent. And the violence went on for a few minutes. And it was a man who was picking people up and throwing them against the wall and punching them and kicking them and beating them up. And he just very, very violent, very aggressive. And it was inhuman. His behavior was not human-like, in the sense that I don't know if there's a human being who could have that kind of strength and endurance to do what he did, because he was brutally violent for a very long time, kicking, punching, hitting, slapping, kicking again, punching again, kicking again, punching, slapping, beating, banging against the wall, like for just several minutes, several people, you know, and just running around this room and just attacking all these people. You know, that's the image I saw. And I just was flabbergasted that somebody was watching that, because I can't watch that stuff. I find it to be upsetting, personally. I don't like to see this kind of violence. But apparently, a lot of people do and find it to be entertaining on some level. And anyway, and then I saw a few minutes later, you know, got a glimpse of in through this person's window, this poor person who didn't realize I was watching their TV set through their window, their house window. But I saw again that the man was talking, you know, so he had stopped beating up all these people and he was just standing there talking to somebody. And I thought it was funny. It was, what kind of person would have that kind of energy and strength to really be able to get in that many fights, you know, and beat up all these people and then just be able to stand there and calmly talk to somebody right after? You know, that was just robotic from my point of view. And a clear case of brainwashing, right? We want people to accept violence as normal and to be desensitized to it. You know, I met a woman who said, well, my kids grew up playing video games and they didn't become violent. Okay, well, okay, your kids grew up playing violent video games and they did not become violent. But how do they feel when they see or hear about someone else being a victim of violence? Are they compassionate? Are they concerned? Do they say, oh my gosh, that he was shot? Oh, that's terrible. Oh my gosh, she was raped. Oh my gosh, that's horrible. Or are they just so desensitized that they don't even really care anymore? Because I got to tell you, a lot of Americans, we really have an empathy and compassion deficit in this country right now. And that's been true for many years, many, many years. And a lot of it has to do with seeing these images of violence and getting desensitized to it. In any case, which is what, that's the topic that, by the way, that I was going to focus on for this podcast. But, you know, one other thing I wanted to mention is, and I might have mentioned this on the previous podcast as well, but I just thought it was interesting because I don't watch TV. And sometimes I'll be out in a public place and somebody will have a TV set on. And so I will, you know, catch a glimpse of it as I did that day when I saw the violent programming. But sometimes, you know, I'll just be in a situation. I was in a situation like this not too long ago where I was forced to watch television. I'm not going to go into the details, but I was at someone's house. They had the TV set on blaring and I was sitting down. I was seated into a living room and there it was, that TV set blaring. And I really didn't want to watch it because, as I've said, I've noticed for a long time, there's a lot of brainwashing, a lot of propaganda on that TV set. I noticed that many years ago, long before COVID, and I know that everyone is affected, myself included. Nobody is above this stuff. Our egos want us to think that we're above it all, right? Oh, I can't be brainwashed. I'm different. But you're not different. If you're a human being, you can be brainwashed. You can be programmed. And most people I meet in this so-called health freedom, medical freedom movement are brainwashed. They may not have fallen for the COVID narrative, but they've fallen for a lot of other narratives that have been thrown at them throughout their lives, and they just don't realize it. So I like to be aware, and that's why I try to avoid being exposed to propaganda. But this day, I was exposed to it. I had no choice. I was just in a situation where I could not politely exit this room. So I'm sitting there, and what I noticed was, and this was during the day, one of the network, TV networks, mainstream, major TV networks was on, and it was soap opera time, basically, soap opera time. And you know, almost every single advertisement, and there were a lot of advertisements, actually, there were a lot of commercials. The commercials came on frequently. And almost every single commercial was for a pharmaceutical company. No joke. Almost every single commercial. I could not believe it. You know, again, because I don't watch TV, so I was unaware. I had no idea. And I said to a friend who was sitting near me, oh my gosh, every commercial is for a pharmaceutical. Everyone. Oh, this woman's walking down the street and she's peeing her pants. She's having trouble controlling her bladder. She needs to take this medicine. And then, of course, the disclaimer. Your brain might fall out. Your fingers might fall out. You might die. You might get sick. You might vomit. You might get diarrhea. If you have any of these symptoms, if you die, contact your doctor immediately. You know, it's, you just hear that at the end and you wonder, why would anyone want to take any of these pharmaceuticals? It's really almost comical. But anyway, I just said to my friend, every commercial's for a pharmaceutical industry. I can't believe it. Like, they have no other sponsors. And my friend said, yep, now you know. And so, yeah, that was a big revelation to me that the pharmaceutical industry, obviously, I mean, I can see by how brainwashed people are and how manipulated and programmed people have been by this whole COVID narrative. But, you know, I saw the evidence of it. I mean, now I had proof of it that, yes, the pharmaceutical industry funds our television networks. Yes, they do, baby. So that was a very disturbing revelation for me. But again, a reason why I don't watch it. I don't watch TV. And I'm not missing anything because the rare times when I've had these exposures to television, it's just been a lot of junk, basically. A lot of garbage, waste of time. The news is, they're just promoting businesses. You know, a new taco shop has opened up in your area. That's not news, my friend. That's an advertisement. But apparently the average American can't tell the difference. They don't know the difference between propaganda and news, and they don't know the difference between advertising and news. Because there's so much propaganda and so much advertising that I guess people are not used to hearing the news anymore. The news is conspiracy theory to a lot of people. Really, if you report the news to people, oh, that's conspiracy theory. No, that's actual fact. That's something that happened, you know. So there you go. We got a big mess on our hands, don't we? We really do. Okay, in any case, I am not finished yet. I need to talk a little bit more about strange things happening in New York State. Oh, yes, I have lots of adventures because I am out and about much of the time. I'm a mover, somebody who doesn't like to sit for long periods of time. So I'm always going out. And I don't have much of a life. I don't have a very exciting life, as you will notice when I tell you my supermarket stories, because I've been, that's my big adventure in life is going out to the supermarket. So yeah, I've had some strange experiences at the supermarket since the injection rollout. So recently I went to a store in my area and there was a mask addict standing in front of me in the store. No, but I have to tell you, most New Yorkers are not wearing masks anymore. And that's amazing. People really are waking up to what's happening, or at least they're just getting tired of covering their faces up, especially in the summertime. So, but in any case, there was a mask addict in front of me, checking out at the, with the cashier, and her friend was with her. Her friend was not wearing a mask. And so they were ahead of me and I kind of turned around. I was looking at some other, I was looking at chocolate. Okay. I admit it. I was looking at chocolate. There was chocolate behind me. Okay. There's chocolate behind me. And I was looking at it to see if any of it was on sale. And I thought maybe I can grab a piece of chocolate while I'm waiting. Fortunately, none of it was on sale. So that's good from the point of view of my diet. That's a good thing. But anyway, while I had turned around and was looking in the opposite direction, the maskless friend turned to walk out of the checkout line, and for some reason didn't see me there, even though I'd been standing there for the longest time waiting to check out, and I was just standing right there. I wasn't moving, just looking in the opposite direction. She walked right into me, crashed right into me, and her response was, "Oops." And I kind of just an automatic reaction was, "Oh, I'm sorry." And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm not the one who should say, "I'm sorry." That's her job. She should have said, "I'm sorry, please excuse me, pardon me. I didn't mean to hit you." Nope, none of that. She banged right into me and did not say an apologizing word. No apology, just oops. And then this horrified look on her face, like she felt awful that she touched another person. She actually touched a human. And maybe she could get sick. Maybe she'll get COVID, but she wasn't wearing a mask. You know, it was just so strange and bizarre. And then she just walked quickly away. And I was so tempted to say something, you know, like normal people will say, "Excuse me, pardon me," something polite. You don't just bang into somebody and walk away. That's not very nice. But I looked at her masked up friend who was still standing in front of me. And that masked up friend didn't want to look at me, didn't want to talk to me, didn't want to interact at all, because this person was clearly also very frightened and worried about getting sick. "The monkeypox has come to Erie County. The monkeypox. Be afraid. Be a very afraid. Be a monkey. Basically, be a monkey. That's what you need to be." Anyway, so I was just really shocked by this, and I got to tell you why. This is very disturbing to me, because I'm having this experience a lot these days, and it really shows a profound disconnection from people. That, you know, this is long before the fake pandemic there. And yeah, I think there probably is something out there people have been getting sick from. The thing is, there are lots of viruses that people get sick from. Every year people die and get very sick from viruses or from something. Okay. They get sick and die. You know, we're mortal beings. It's sad, but people do get sick from things and respiratory ailments and die. And so people get sick. But I don't believe there ever was a pandemic. That's just my opinion. I think this is just another strain of the flu. You know, maybe it's it's a bioweapon. I don't really know. And I'll admit to the fact I don't have all the answers, okay? But in any case, we know now that masks do not prevent the spread of disease. They just don't. I mean, there have been studies done on it, and you can look at the packaging. You can get an N95 mask, read the instructions that come with it, and you'll see there's a disclaimer on there that says this will not prevent the spread of viruses. Those masks are made to prevent you from inhaling lead and other contaminants in the air, but not viruses. The viruses are so small that it's really, you just can't prevent ingesting viruses like that. It doesn't work. But anyhow, in any case, my point is, here's my concern here, is that a person hurting another person, attacking, hitting a person or pushing or shoving a person or somehow physically attacking another person, even though it's by accident, okay? This was not done on purpose at all. Complete accident, okay? Strange accident, because she should have seen me standing there. It's very odd that she wasn't looking. She wasn't paying attention to what was happening around her and just bumped into me like that. That was very, very strange, okay? But in any case, it was an accident. But when you hit somebody or shove somebody and you're not a violent person, you apologize, right? You say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt you, I hope you're all right. That's how we behave as humans. And this person did not do that, people. And I got to tell you, that lack of empathy, that lack of compassion, that lack of concern for others, where you could hit somebody and you don't care about that person enough to even say, oh, I'm so sorry, or excuse me, pardon me, that leads to violence. That can lead to violence, I should say. That can. Because that shows that, just that lack of concern. Now, I'm sure it comes from fear. This woman is probably just so traumatized by the propaganda we've been dealing with for the past 2.5 years that she was preoccupied with herself. She was thinking about herself. Oh my gosh, I might catch a disease from this other human. So she was so self-centered and self-involved that she could not care about the other person enough to say, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't hurt you, I didn't mean to bump into you. Now, what really worries me about this is that this has happened to me more than once, this kind of thing. Okay, I had another experience. This was maybe a couple weeks ago, in another supermarket, and a woman was rushing through the store, most likely an Instacart shopper. And I say that because I've shopped for Instacart before. And companies like Instacart, there's a bunch of them, Postmates, Uber, Lyft, a bunch of these gig economy companies. And they're extraordinarily corrupt because they don't pay their employees. They don't consider you to be an employee. You're an independent contractor. And so they can get out of providing you with any benefits, which means if you get sick or you get hurt, you can end up homeless on the street. No benefits. They also don't provide you with a regular paycheck. They don't pay you a living wage. They pay you below minimum wage, literally. I mean, they might give you $5 for a delivery, and that delivery takes 2 or 3 hours. So where people make money is from tips, people who shop for these gig economy jobs. They only make money if they get tips. No tip, no money. I mean, you're basically getting $5 for 2 or 3 hours work, whatever it is. I mean, and that's a hypothetical example. It might be $6 and, for an hour and a half of work. Yeah, I mean, it varies. It varies. And Instacart is not clear, does not explain why or how they pay people. And most of those gig economy companies are like that. They don't tell you what their pay rate is because you're not an employee and they don't have to obey labor laws. It's a way of getting around the labor laws. And one of the terrible things that they do also is they pressure their employees, you're not considered to be an employee. They pressure their contractors, their workers, their slaves, basically their servants, to be very, very fast. And they time you by the second, not even by the minute, but by the second. And they will tell you, it took you on average 180 seconds to shop for each item in the supermarket. 180 seconds, that's 3 minutes. And they tell the customers, hey, you'll have your shopping done in a half hour. It's not possible to get someone's shopping done in a half hour or even in an hour because it takes 10 or 15 minutes to walk into the supermarket and then to walk out. So you've got a good 20 to 30 minutes just walking in and out of the supermarket. Then you've got another 10 to 20 minutes waiting to check out of the supermarket, depending on how long of a line there is or isn't, how busy the store is, how fast the cashier is, how fast you are at putting your items on the conveyor belt to check out. So you've got a good half hour or more of your time that you spend walking in and out of the store and checking out. Let's say it takes only 10 minutes to walk from your car to the store, to get your shopping cart, to get into the store, and another 10 minutes to check out, and then another 10 minutes waiting, okay, to check out your items. That's 30 minutes right there. And then it takes a couple minutes to walk to each shopping aisle for each item, you know, and then to find each item can take a couple minutes. So it might take you 5 minutes to walk to aisle 2, which is way over there, and then find this item. And then the next item that you need to find might be in aisle 10, you know, and you got to walk, you know, 5 minutes over to where aisle 10 is. And then maybe you can't find it because the supermarket moved it to a different location, or maybe they've run out. So then you spend another 5 or 10 minutes trying to find this item to make the customer happy. So if the customer's got 50 items, you can imagine if it only took 1 minute to buy each item, that's 50 minutes, almost an hour right there. But if it takes you 3 minutes, which is not very much time, 3 minutes to travel to that aisle and find each item, you know, that's almost 3 hours of your time, right? 2.5 hours, something like that, for 50 items. And then you've got that extra half hour walking in and out of the store, checking out. So you might have spent 3 hours on that shopping trip. Meanwhile, Instacart tells its customers that, its guests, that, you know, it's only going to take 45 minutes to do your shopping, you know, or a half hour or whatever they're telling people. So Instacart shoppers get very aggressive. So if you ever go to a store, a major supermarket where there are Instacart shoppers, you can recognize them because sometimes they're very aggressive, they're in a big hurry, and they've got their smartphone with them and they're staring at their smartphone because all the items that you need to buy will be on your smartphone, listed on your phone. And that's how shoppers who shop for Instacart interact, is by using their phone. So, you know, having worked for them before, unfortunately, I recognize Instacart shoppers now. I can see them. And I would guess that this woman who banged into me at the supermarket was probably an Instacart shopper. Why? Because she was so aggressive in such a big hurry to get her shopping done that it was just very unusual. So my guess is the reason why she was practically running through the store with her shopping cart was probably because she was desperately trying to get her Instacart order in on time, which you really can't do. It's nearly impossible to get shopping done as quickly as Instacart claims that you can get done. And I know this because I'm somebody who's painfully good at supermarket shopping. I know where things are. I know a lot of the supermarkets, and I would be very, very fast at finding items. And rarely did I ever find items with the speed that Instacart wanted me to have. It's just not possible. But maybe if you're very rude and disrespectful of other people, you could do it, you know, just pushing and shoving people out of your way and running through the supermarket, maybe, which is what this woman was doing in the store. By the way, one little side note I'd like to add is that several years ago, Domino's Pizza was sued for doing this, for putting pressure on their delivery drivers to deliver very fast. They would promise their customers that their pizzas would be delivered within a specified amount of time. And it was thought that this caused an increase in car accidents in the area. So Domino's was sued, and they don't do this anymore. They don't tell customers, your pizza will arrive in a half hour, or whatever the time frame was. So I'm curious as to why companies like Instacart, and as I said, there's other ones as well, many other companies that do the same. These gig economy companies, they continue to pressure their employees to make their deliveries very, very quickly, very speedily. And I'm noticing an increase in aggressive driving as well as aggressive shopping in my area. And now it seems that these big corporations can do whatever they want and no one seems to care if it's causing an increase in auto accidents. It's odd, isn't it? And a tad disturbing. And a tad disturbing. And I also want to point out that a lot of people started working for companies like Instacart and gig economy companies because they lost their jobs due to lockdowns in 2020. And that was what happened to me. I lost 3 jobs and started doing gig economy stuff, which does not pay extremely well. Unless you can work 12 hours a day or 14 hours a day, which is what people do in third world countries. Oh my gosh, do we live in a third world country here in the United States? Well, we will be pretty soon. We're moving in that direction. Anyway, so my point is, and I just need to give you that background information to give you an understanding of what happened to me at the supermarket. So I'm shopping in the supermarket, and this woman literally, she was practically running with her shopping cart in such a big hurry. And I'm just standing there with my shopping cart, you know, looking at things, buying things. This woman comes up from behind me and bangs into my shopping cart. I mean, she hit my shopping cart very hard. And if I had been standing in front of my cart, she would have killed me or severely injured me, and I would have had to go to the hospital or something. I mean, that was very aggressive. She really banged right into me. And you know what she did? Just continued going, you know, speeding off. She knew she hit my cart. She knew she might have hurt me. She might have done me physical harm. You know, if I were a disabled person or an elderly person, I could have gotten knocked over because that was a pretty hard hit. But she didn't care. She just kept right on going. And again, I never saw this behavior before the vaccine rollout, before this COVID-19 nonsense. I never saw that. I really never did. You know, and I'm sure there were are rare people who behave this way in the supermarket, but I just never saw this before, this kind of behavior. And I'm seeing it more and more frequently, people getting very mean. And again, this was an accident. She did not intend to hit my shopping cart, okay? She hit my shopping cart because she was in such a big hurry. Like I said, she was almost running with her shopping cart, you know, dashing across the store so fast that, you know, she was probably bumping into a lot of people and a lot of things on her way. But she did not feel the need to say, "I'm so sorry. Please excuse me." No, none of that. No acknowledgement whatsoever. She did not even notice that I was there. I'm going to tell you another story, okay, that happened recently. Shopping in the supermarket again. Yes, my exciting life. Here I am. Shopping is my life. So I'm in another occasion. I was in a supermarket, and it was in the evening, so there weren't as many people in the store as there are during the day. And I'm walking through the supermarket buying things, and, you know, I guess you can probably tell I'm a talker. Yeah, talk a little too much sometimes. And then sometimes not enough, but whatever. So I'm walking to the supermarket and trying to interact with other shoppers. And I'm noticing that the shoppers that were shopping that evening were not making eye contact, not talking to each other, not behaving like human beings. Really. Honestly, truly. Now, this could have been the result of 2.5 years of propaganda, fear-mongering, and people have been traumatized. And maybe people who are most traumatized shop in the evening because they know there are fewer customers and they're so afraid of interacting with other humans. Maybe they purposely choose a time to shop when they think there won't be a lot of other people in the store. That could be an explanation for it. Some people seem to think that these people were damaged by the injection, and that the injections cross the blood-brain barrier, because we're hearing that the contents of the ingredients of these injections can cross the blood-brain barrier and do some brain damage. So have these people been brain damaged by the injections, or are they just brain damaged from the years of fear-mongering? Which, yeah, that can damage your brain too. So anyhow, I tried a few times to make small talk with some of these people. I was looking at something and standing who was also looking at the same thing. And I said, "Oh, it's on sale. That's a really good deal." No response from this woman. She looked away, pretended she didn't see me, pretended she didn't hear me, and walked quickly away. It's kind of insulting, actually. And although not as insulting as having somebody nearly murder you in the supermarket by banging their shopping cart into yours. But in any case, yeah. So, and I continued walking through the supermarket and did the same thing with other shoppers, you know, try to start conversations, you know, oh, they have a good deal on this. Oh, I want, you know, that looks really good. I've never tried that before. You know, nice evening tonight, isn't it? And the good weather we've been having, you know, that kind of thing, small talk. No one would talk to me. It was like I was wearing the Scarlet Letter or something, you know, really. People just literally turned their head away from me. Even if I was facing them, they turned their head, pretended they didn't see me, wouldn't look at me, wouldn't talk to me. It would have been hurtful if it weren't for the fact that I know why they were behaving this way. It's because of the fear mongering for 2.5 years. In the past, something like this would have really hurt my feelings, actually. But I know where this was coming from. And on my way out of the supermarket, I overheard one of the customers say, "We're supposed to be socially distancing." Yeah, it's July in 2022, and we're supposed to be socially distancing. Yeah, we're going to spend the rest of our lives socially distancing, being rude to each other, being mean to each other. Yeah, anyway, so I'm just telling you these stories because, honestly, I really think this is something we should be concerned about. This does not bode well. As I said, this kind of behavior can lead to violence very quickly. These are people who do not have empathy or compassion, who have no connection to other people, or they are purposely disconnecting from other people. And these people are very prone to violence. If they, you know, if someone goes on that idiot box, known as the TV set, and starts telling people, those anti-vaxxers, I don't want to give the powers that be any ideas, actually. I don't want to give them any ideas. Homeland Security might be listening to this podcast, but, you know, really, someone could go on television and tell them that they're supposed to hate the anti-vaxxers, and who's to say that one of these people might lash out? If they're at a point where they can hit you, you know, and nearly knock you over and physically assault you and not feel bad about it at all. I got to tell you, these people are being turned into sociopaths. That's really what's happening. Whether it's from the injections, the so-called vaccines, or the fear-mongering, I personally think it's coming from the fear-mongering. I don't think it's coming from the injections. And I say that because I've met people who've taken the injections, who've taken the shots, and are not behaving like this, okay? So I really think these are people who are just so immersed in fear that they've lost touch with reality and are afraid to touch other humans. And that's just going to hurt them, right? They're going to suffer from this because we human beings have a natural need for connection with other people. We do. Now, it might be that psychopaths and narcissists need less connection than the rest of us do. That could be. But most of us, the vast majority of humans, have a need for physical touch and physical contact with other people. It's a very strong need. So a lot of these people could die from that, actually, just from the loneliness, the isolation, and the fear. That by itself is going to weaken their immune systems and make them vulnerable to getting sick. So it's too bad for them. But it's also too bad for us. Because this does not bode well. What kind of a future are we going to have? Are we going to see an increase in violence? I'm seeing it. There seem to be a lot more shootings than there were in the past. But then again, it's hard to say, you know, when you're in an urban area, an inner city area, there's crime. There's a certain level of crime anyway. You know, New York has always been a place where there is a lot of crime and a lot of economic inequality. Yeah, some very wealthy people and some very, very poor people. And when you have that inequality, that breeds violence because people resent being kept at the bottom. And, You know, another thing to think about is when you have this dog-eat-dog society where people don't believe in helping each other. Oh, I don't want to give you a handout. Why do you need my help? Why can't you do it yourself? You know, that kind of selfish attitude of not wanting to help each other. Well, you know what? That leads to violence too, because what happens is when people lose their jobs, lose their homes, lose their livelihood, and start to struggle, as so many of us have since the lockdowns in 2020, and people realize no one's going to help me, no one cares about me, everyone's out for themselves. Well, you know, that is going to drive some people to violence and to crime, because people are going to say, well, you know what? I need to be selfish too. I need to just think about me. No one else cares about me. You know, everyone else is out for themselves. I need to think about myself too. So if I want something, I'm just going to take it. I don't care if it belongs to somebody else. I'm just going to take it. Not good. I'm just letting you know right now, I'm just issuing this warning. That is not good. We humans need to connect with each other. We need to care about each other. We need to bring back empathy and compassion. That's what makes us human. And that's how human beings have survived throughout history for so many centuries. And if we all turn into psychopaths and narcissists, we're not going to survive very long. And our society is going to turn to chaos. So I don't think it's a good idea to allow this to become a pattern in our society. We need to understand that we're all going to be different. We're all going to have different views on things, different ideas on things. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to live in a frightening, violent, chaotic society. And nobody wants to live in a surveillance state either, although a lot of Americans seem to be okay with it right now. Put up more surveillance cameras. Extend that Patriot Act. It must go on forever. But you know what? Most everybody wants to be free. The problem is some people only want freedom for themselves and not for others. So people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, the CEOs of these big corporations in particular, the CEOs of pharmaceutical and tech companies, they want freedom. They totally believe in freedom, but they only want it for themselves. They want to be free to do whatever they want. They don't want to have to pay taxes, and many of these big corporations don't pay taxes. They get money back from the IRS every year. They don't want any regulations over them. They want to be free from regulations, free from liability. They want to be able to do whatever they want, but they don't care about your freedom or my freedom. So our challenge is not to become like them. If we're truly different from these horrible big corporate monsters that are trying to take over the world, then that means we need to understand that these rights are inalienable rights. Freedom is inalienable. It belongs to everyone. Everyone around the world should have freedom. And injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. They want us divided, fighting among each other. But we really should be all fighting for our freedom. Because the average person is not trying to take over the world. The average person is not trying to control everything and everyone. The average person doesn't want to live in a fascist police state where everyone has to be afraid all the time. So, and anyway, I'm running out of time. So with that, I will say thank you, my wonderful invisible listeners, for listening. And we'll talk to you next time. And until that time, I'm going to ask you to please occupy your mind. Think for yourself. Think independently. Experiment with turning off the television and turning off your smartphone and your computer. Can you do it? Can you go for an entire day without these devices? Because if you can't, you know what that means? It means you are addicted. You're an addict. And that device is controlling you. So if you want to be truly independent in your thinking, in your life, take back your power. Take back your control. Turn it off. Go for a walk in your community and see the world firsthand for what it is, with all its ups and downs, because we need to recognize problems in order to solve them. Running away from problems just allows these problems to get bigger and bigger, and then they can become almost unsolvable. So we need to go out in our communities and see what's really happening around us. And That's how we can win, and that's how we can take back our power away from these multimillionaires and billionaires who are trying to take over. And we can do this. It's a very simple and easy thing to do, and it's perfectly legal at the moment, at least in most parts of the world. You can do this. You can turn off your computer and turn off your phone and turn off your TV set and all your devices and just go for a walk without any devices, without any electronic or battery-operated devices. Just the device of your body. And see what you experience. See what you learn. Maybe you'll run into people you've never seen before. Maybe some people you don't want to meet. But maybe some people you do want to meet. You know, maybe you'll see some things that, you know, might really open up your mind and get you thinking differently about the world. So just try it. And if you want, you can let me know what your experience was. anchor.fm/occupyyourmind. You can contact me there. I did set up a Facebook page for Occupy Your Mind podcast and a Telegram page for Occupy Your Mind podcast. But keep in mind, I am not spending much time on social media anymore for reasons that I think should be obvious, but I don't appreciate this mass surveillance, transhumanist society that the powers that be are trying to set up. And I don't appreciate they're trying to get us arguing over partisan politics, because this has nothing to do with partisan politics. As I've mentioned many times before, I'm not a right winger, not a conservative. It has nothing at all to do with that. Nothing at all to do with Donald Trump. I think he's just a puppet that they are using to get us fighting with each other. That's really what I think, but I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you know. So again, let me know what you think if you want, if you feel free to do that. And please do support this show by liking it, leaving a positive comment, sharing it with friends, getting others to listen. I do so appreciate it because I don't charge a fee for any of these shows, but I do put a lot of work into it. It may not seem like it, but I spend many, many hours of my day recording these shows. That's why I don't do them as often as I'd like to. I'd like to do a show every week, but it does take several hours of my time. And so I would appreciate it if you would like it or share it or buy the book, Diary of a Mad Bag Lady. I've been having weird, very strange experiences with the internet that I might share with you on a future podcast. But some of the links that I've been putting up for this show in the show notes have been sabotaged. I don't know why. I guess it's just a coincidence. But so that's why I haven't been putting all these links up anymore. But I would still appreciate it if you could show some support for this show. Otherwise, we'll talk to you soon.
Whoops. Looks like we've run out of time. So, what do you think? Is wearing a cloth over your nose and running away in fear from other people keeping you safe? Do you want your human body to be genetically modified and become a human GMO? Should other people be forced to have their bodies genetically modified? Were you a huge fan of the Nazis and happy they've returned to wreak further havoc on the entire world? Do you think Bill Gates should take the place of God or your higher power? Let us know. Until next time, occupy yourself, occupy your mind. Stay human. Stay independent and stay free. Not the sanitary napkin company. I mean, stay free as in remain free. Oh, never mind.